Don't pull over. Just turn the volume up. It's time for Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan. We're calling out those who are bridging the gap to improve the lives and safety of others. Here now is your host, campus top cop, Brian Dugan.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Roll Call with the Chief. This is Brian Dugan, your Chief of Police for the City of Tampa, and today I'm here with ESPN commentator Tiffany Green. If you follow her on Twitter, it's at Tiffany A. Green, huh? What's the A stand for?
Ooh, now we're getting really personal.
All right, well, then we're not going to share it.
That's my middle name was Antoinette.
Oh, very good, very good. Now it makes sense. So it's at Tiffany A. Green. You know, you have quite the story. I was very fortunate since I became chief of police, got to know you. You've helped with a couple things, and I certainly appreciate that. So will you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you came from and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, born and raised right here in Tampa, Florida, and I don't think I've ever come across a chief of police to have an intro like that with a nice little bed of music underneath the top cop. Like, shout out to you for doing this show. But born and raised right here in Tampa, a product of Hillsborough County Public Schools, graduated from Hillsborough High School's International Baccalaureate Program, went on to Florida A&M University, where I graduated from the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication with a broadcast journalism degree. And you and I were talking before we came on the show, like, this is something that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a sportscaster. I wrote it down when I was 5 years old in a yearbook and said, this is what I'm going to do. And I think sometimes when people say that, or when people ask you as an icebreaker question, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, we throw out a number of different topics or professions, lawyer or police officer, firefighter, artist. And I don't know if people necessarily believe that you're going to follow through with what you say you want to do. But I was very blessed to be able to do so. So I worked in local television for about 10 to 12 years, started here as a part-time production assistant at WB38, which is now no longer. And I volunteered, raised my hand, and said, hey, I want to do a lot of different things. I went on to Savannah and was a one-man band. That meant I carried my own camera, my own tripod. I set up the stand-up. I edited and shot everything. Then worked with Bright House Sports Network for about 7 years between Orlando and Tampa. And then had some freelance opportunities ESPN, both as a sideline reporter and then also through Fox Sports One in their inaugural Beast Women's basketball season, and became full time in 2015 with ESPN as play by play commentator.
Wow, that is certainly amazing. I think where me and you are similar is, you know, I always wanted to be a police officer, and I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I moved here 2 days before I started the police academy, and I was willing to do anything to become a cop.
Right.
And it literally moved away, you know, and you have certainly moved around. It's kind of good though when it's not given to you, so mm-hmm. to speak. You know, when you talk about being a one-man band and right. doing your own camera and all that stuff, you know, and it kind of helps build that character.
Sure.
And makes you maybe appreciate a little more once you do kind of meet what your ultimate goal. And you know, what I always say to people is, you know, if you know what you want to do, you're more likely to get there.
Right.
But just remember, it's not always a straight line from where you start to where you finish.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really cool. And I'm sure you would agree, if you are doing what you want to do in life, it's not like you really have a job.
Nope.
Because it's a lot of fun.
Nope. And I think some days we put a little bit more pressure on ourselves to excel and be the best that we can be. And so sometimes you feel a little bit of that. But outside of it, I wouldn't give anything for my journey or where I am now. I am truly living my dream. I always say this, and my husband says, well, why do you keep kind of putting a period or an end to it? But I said, if everything was taken away from me right now, I can say with certainty that I was able to live my dream. And every day that I get to do what I love, it just gets better and better, right? It continues to continue on this chapter in my life. And I'm so, so very grateful to it. But you said something, Chief, that I think is really important, which is it wasn't given to me, right? So the ability to pay your dues helps you to appreciate what you get on the other side all the more. And my back was hurting. I had workers comp from carrying about 30 pounds of gear, and that was at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium covering the Florida Gators. That was walking during the G8 summit in Savannah, Georgia, over bridges in the low country. I mean, it just didn't matter. But now that I'm here, I can say and have a greater appreciation too for everybody that I work with, right? Because I have pretty much done just about every job.
Right.
And so I know what goes into it. And to me, that helps me to maybe be more understanding or to lend a helping hand to my coworkers because I know what it's like.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. You know, and when you've been there, done that, so to speak, and you've done the heavy lifting, you certainly appreciate more with the support people around. And I think it makes you maybe appreciate more just the opportunity to go cover an event, I'm sure. And, you know, when you look at some of the things you've been exposed to, you know, to live the dream, so to speak, you know, that's a saying, but you're literally doing that. Yeah. And it really is cool, you know. And so we will be taking a few calls later. Our number is 347-989-0030. That's 347-989-0030. So, you know, we got to meet, you were actually doing a podcast, your own podcast, and, you had interviewed me and stuff, but where I really got to meet you was, we were doing some things with Abram Ministries, mm-hmm. and, it was myself and Duke Preston from the Bucks, and mm-hmm. you had done you were kind of like the moderator.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I took over as interim chief back 2 years ago, it was right around July, late July, and we were just on the cusp of the events that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, and there were some things going on, and just be quite upfront, there's some tensions between police and members of the Black community, mm-hmm. which has always been there, but you kind of got involved. And saw an opportunity to kind of bring some of the athletes together and the yeah. police together. And so tell me what your thoughts were about that.
Well, first off, the A. Brown Ministries does a terrific job here. And we were able to, like you said, meet and get together during that time and just see how, you know, the Tampa Police Department is working with those who are trying to re-enter into society and supporting organizations that do that very thing in order to help them kind of re-assimilate into today's culture and time. And so I want to tip my hat to you for that because I think you are taking several positive steps forward along with A. Brown Ministries and organizations like them. And so you were kind enough to attend an event that I was putting on during the Women's Final Four, which was held here for the third time in Tampa earlier in April at the Hall on Franklin. And it was really a welcome to Tampa reception. And the idea behind it was for those who were coming in, those WNBA players, college coaches, Tampa Bay business leaders, media professionals, just to come together and say, hey, welcome to this beautiful city of ours, and to also show a cohesiveness behind a community that is behind not only sports and women's basketball, but also that shows that we are collective. And you being there was amazing because you are out with the people. You are out front, and getting a chance to see you, and I know you're like, don't sit here and blow me up. This is not the show or the podcast for you to just like sing praises to me. But I think it's all the more important because you are taking proactive steps to get out there in the community. And the fact that you also gave me the badge, okay, let me just tell you, felt like it's a pretty big deal. And I carry it with me everywhere that I go. You made that presentation to me. But it was just really a good time for people to get together. And then I don't think you should just get together just because. I think there should also be a purpose behind it, especially when you're gathering such influential people like that. And so we were able to also give to the Boys and Girls Club of Tampa Bay $5,000 from our sponsors. And I think that was something great because I'm a club kid. You know, I grew up right here in Tampa, as I mentioned, West Tampa Boys and Girls Club and Zonta Boys and Girls Club were the branches that I attended. And I wanted to give back to them.
Yeah, well, you know, the badge was just my way of saying thank you. It really was. You know, if it gets you out of a speeding ticket, then have at it. But I can't promise you anything.
I appreciate that. I won't name drop, you know, if I get pulled over.
I won't name drop.
I'll just show the badge.
Yeah. But, you know, the point was, the reason I did it, because I wanted to, it was a token of my appreciation. You know, I don't think people, you know, I take our community relations with the police department, I take it very serious. I take it very personal. Mm-hmm. That is my ultimate responsibility. And there were some tough times when I took over being a white officer. Mm-hmm. When you had things going on in Charlottesville, you had protests of athletes taking a knee, raising a fist, that type of thing. We had that happen here in Tampa. And then we were able to get members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to come out to the academy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, DeSean Jackson, not the name drop, but DeSean Jackson, one of the players, took a knee. Right. Me and him became friends.
Right.
You know, and you could have easily taken a step back and not engaged in it.
Right.
But by being the moderator that night and getting more involved, I think you saw, I saw the protest as a form of, as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have been easy to sit back and ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as a chief of police, I can't say I support peaceful protest and then criticize the manner in which you're peacefully protesting,
right,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so I think people were shocked that I embraced it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an opportunity for us to not, you know, to, let's have that awkward conversation. We may not always agree,
right,
on how we're going, but if we are working with the right intentions, mm-hmm, then maybe we can understand each other better. And that's why I was so grateful for you to get involved in that, because, mm-hmm, I think so many times people, it's just easier to sit on the sidelines and criticize.
Right.
And you took an opportunity to, hey, let's see what we can do to get together. And by us sitting down at the A. Brown Ministries dinner that night and having a simple conversation, mm-hmm, you know, I think it was a huge opportunity for people to see law enforcement in a different perspective.
Yeah, but the impact of you sitting down and being willing to have a conversation and taking what some would feel as an unpopular stance or maybe something that would raise a couple of eyebrows, right? Because I think we stand in agreement that it is a peaceful protest, so I have no problem with you doing it, whether it's for social justice and rights or if it's for something else that, you know, you believe in. If that's what you're doing, then as long as you're going about it in a peaceful manner and you're not disrupting anybody, then I'm okay with that. And for you to, again, come out in front and say that, I think is big of you, because nobody or not as many people want to have the awkward conversation, right? We just want to go to our phones and social media and just say our point, and that's it. We just drop the mic right there without engaging in dialogue or debate, if for that matter, because we're so set on proving our point. And so you said, hey, this is how I feel, and this is where I stand. Let's have a conversation. Let's work together to understand or get to know a little bit better. Like you mentioned with one of the Buccaneers players, like, what is your story? Mm-hmm. You know, where did you come from and how is it that, you know, you've come to, you know, your set of values and why you believe what you believe? And when you kind of get to the root of those things and understand and connect as a human being, then maybe this wall or barrier that people feel with, you know, how they're choosing to protest or when they're choosing to protest, you know, doesn't seem so insurmountable, like you can't break it down.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the crazy stories I've never shared with anyone is my son and I were in Charlotte for the Charlotte Panthers game this past season. And right before the game, we were down on the field, had an opportunity to be down on the field. And, you know, literally right before kickoff, DeSean Jackson, who months earlier took a knee is giving me and my son a hug right before kickoff. You know, no one knows that. I think people would be shocked, you know, because Deshaun has a persona out there as a tough guy. And I don't mean to name drop, but that's how things evolved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to be willing to take that risk, I think, to sit down and find that common ground and talk things out. So we're going to take a break, and we will be taking some calls, 347-989-0030.
I like being a positive role model, especially for the children and the communities I grew up in. It makes me feel good to help people who can't help themselves.
I love working in a fast-paced, exciting job where I feel like I am making a difference in a place I am proud to call home.
My calm voice on the other end of the line reassures those in need that help is on the way.
Being a Tampa police officer.
Being a Tampa dispatcher.
It is really more than a job. It's a career.
Visit tampagov.net/jobs today for exciting career opportunities with the Tampa Police Department.
All righty. Here we are with a roll call with the chief. I'll tell you, Tiffany, you know, we got it going on. We got our own commercials
on
this podcast.
That's right. I love it, man.
You know, we're like big time. We are big time. It's unbelievable. So today I'm here with ESPN's Tiffany, who grew up here in Tampa. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the Women's Final Four, in which you got your Chiefs badge with the Women's Final Four logo on it. You know, what was that like? You know, I know you do a lot of involvement in the community, but what was it like to grow up here in Tampa, have this dream of doing sports broadcasting? You played basketball right when you were in high school.
Yes.
What was it like, just from your own personal perspective, to be in your own hometown, be on ESPN and be covering, you know, be part of the coverage on Women's Final Four? What was that like for you?
Right. Well, one day I'm going to be a part of that coverage for Women's Final Four. I have to tip my hat to my very talented coworkers, Adam Amin, Kara Lawson, Rebecca Lobo, as well as Holly Rowe. You know, they are the championship crew. But what was great is there were several ancillary activities, you know, around it. I think the Tampa Bay Sports Commission and the local organizing committee did a terrific job once again with putting on a top-notch event. It's a premier event, I think, and one that other cities that host Women's Final Fours and Men's Final Fours can learn from. And so I think it's a humbling experience because it's kind of like people see me as a hometown hero, if you will, and I just don't see myself in that vein because I still always feel like I'm climbing or trying to, you know, do more and have some more years in the game. But I love it because I was in Walmart before I came here today, and a guy who I used to have a crush on at the Boys and Girls Club.
is your husband going to hear this
story? Yeah, he is going to hear this story. And I told him too. And I ran into him, and he was just like, Tiffany, I'm so proud of what you're doing because, you know, you stated a goal and you had a dream and you've been able to attain it. And you're from right here. You stuck with it. And you know, we talked about some of our classmates that, you know, may have chosen a different path or course for their life. And I don't see myself so much as the inspiration because I'm always drawing inspiration from other people and those who walk in their greatness, those who have been consistent year after year, day after day. Those are the things that kind of like excite me. But to kind of be seen in that role, again, just allows me to know that, you know, I'm truly, truly blessed. And if I can inspire one, two, or five people and know that I've made them proud and that I'm doing something worthwhile, then that just warms my heart.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt. And it is amazing because, you know, like I said, to have your background and to see this event, you know, come to Tampa and you be able to be part of it in a variety of ancillary roles, it's really cool. you know, I do have to admit that I do follow you on Twitter. It's at Tiffany A. Green, and I saw you dribble the basketball Twitter. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, you had a little bit of game back in the day.
Some skills up in there. I cross you up. You know, we can go to our local court, you know. I might cross you up, Chief.
Yeah, you never know. But I tend to throw a few elbows once in a while.
Uh-oh.
So I don't play clean, you know. So.
That's the way basketball used to be. The mm-hmm. good old days, in my opinion, like the 90s, where, you know, you would get down in the post and, you know, Charles Barkley or Oakley or several other guys would make you think twice about going down low in the paint.
Yeah, when I played, I was tall, and so obviously that everybody thinks you're a basketball player when
right.
you're tall, and they kind of force you into it. But I was more of a Dennis Rodman. I wasn't.
Oh yeah.
I wasn't much into jump shots, but I could rebound and knock you on your butt.
Did you also play head games?
Of course. But he had, you know, I didn't have all the tats and the hair that he had, and certainly didn't have the piercings. But
no.
You know, now we're totally getting off track.
It's all good. It's so. Fun. That's what this podcast is about, among other things, right? Getting to know the Chief a little bit better too, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm losing my my conservative approach to things, I guess. So. Let's talk a little bit about the mentoring programs that you're involved in. Important,
yeah.
You know, we've touched on so much of what you're doing professionally, and that's very important. But, you know, you're giving back to your community, which I think is very important. So let's mm-hmm. kind of talk about some of the programs you're involved in.
Yeah, so I signed up with the USF Selman Mentoring Institute a few years ago and have had the opportunity to work with some student athletes over the years. And that has been a great moment because it's just like, okay, yes, you're used to working with young people or people from afar, but those who you can truly touch out and see at the college age, you feel like, you know, they've been able to grasp and are getting the training that they need or going through the internship process and soon will be looking for jobs. I think that's an exciting time that speaks to me. In fact, one of my latest mentees is now working as a reporter, second job technically out of college in New Orleans as
really?
A morning reporter. So I am very, very proud of that. The other one is working with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I think that is pretty cool. And then also through the Women's Final Four and the Tampa Bay Sports Commission, they have a pass program where we worked with the Girl Scouts of West Central Florida. And they were going through the process of what it was like to be a reporter. And so a young lady by the name of Isabel was one of the young ladies that I had a chance to work with in addition to speaking to the group. So that was really sweet because she was a sweet gal and I thought she did a good job. And I also am with the FAMU Board of Visitors. So I work very closely with Florida A&M School of Journalism and Graphic Communication to try to help those students matriculate through the university and go on to get their job. So I'm constantly replying to emails, looking over reels and things like that. And then I work through civic organizations here. I'm a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated and also the Tampa chapter of the Lynx Incorporated. And so there are a lot of outreach programs. We work at Carter G. Woodson as well as Shehi Elementary and working with the young girls monthly to not only expose them to different careers and activities, the Victorian stroll during the Christmas break or, you know, taking them to the Stras, but also just one-on-one time, like stuff, what's going on in our lives. So, I try to stretch myself as much as possible in order to give back because that's why I'm here.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I'll tell you, you brought up several organizations that I quite frankly never heard of, which is part of what I want to do with this podcast mm-hmm. is start talking about the things that are already going on in our community mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel and start new organizations. We have so many organizations that are out there that can always use help. One of the things you brought up, the Selman Institute, what is that? I never heard of that before.
Okay, so
and I thought I was pretty tuned in as to what's going on.
So Leroy Selman, the former Buccaneer, who was the first AD at the University of South Florida, they created this mentoring institute because obviously he had a heart for education and helping young people. And so they take student athletes and they link them up with members of the community that match, you know, their interest and what they think they may want to do. And so you meet with them throughout the semester, and you can continue that relationship on, which I chose to, and constantly be there. So it's not just like, oh, yes, I'm signing up for this program to be a mentor. Like, once you connect to someone, I think that you should remain connected to them or until that season is done in both of you all's lives. So the Selman Mentoring Institute has been fantastic because as a student athlete in college, Chief, you may not know this, but I was an NCAA bowler.
Is that right?
Yeah. I got a scholarship for bowling.
That is impressive.
Yeah, I know. It's a little random fact. No one wants to go to the lanes with me. I even bowl with a house ball. I don't bring my shoes. I almost was not engaged after going on a date, by the way, with my now husband after whipping up on him pretty good. But, yeah, so the Selman Mentoring Institute is a great way to link together student athletes with members of the community.
Yeah, I'll tell you bowling might be one of the most frustrating sports. People talk about golf. Bowling is frustrating. You know, because there's, I think from an amateur standpoint, you probably have a different perspective. There's that whole theory. Oh, you got to spin it, let the ball roll through the pins. I just throw it as hard as I can. But
you got to hit your spots. That's the key because you're never knowing what the lane conditions are going to be like. So it can be wood or synthetic. It can be oily. It can be not. You can't curve the ball. It's a house ball. It's just plastic. So it has no weight inside of it. So when you're watching like the PBA, they have dots to go along and correspond with like a weight. So like a white and yellow dot, they're like a little lighter weight. And you go to green and red, those are the heavier weights. So you see more of a hook there. Like,
wow, that's
impressive. You can't like just go take a house ball usually. And your luck will run out after a certain amount of time.
Wow. You know, we do Chiefs challenge with the Sheriff's Office for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. We just had it, about 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Guess who's coming next year to be on my team? Because we're terrible. But
I'll be your ringer.
You're going to lead the charge for Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We're learning way too much now. So.
That's awesome.
I learned more about bowling in the last 30 seconds than I have known in my entire life. So that is pretty impressive. So, we just have a few minutes left. So, just kind of if you had a final message that you wanted to put out there, not to just throw you on the spot, mm-hmm. but what's kind of going through your head and what that you're seeing in the community and stuff right now to kind of, what's the latest message you want to put out there?
Take ownership. Take ownership of your neighborhood. Take ownership of your community. I know that within the Black community, the see something, say something is not necessarily the most popular thing. But I will say that you want to create an environment, and it's not the Black community. It's the Hispanic community, the Indian, white, all over. It's our Tampa Bay community. We need to take ownership of whatever it is that we're doing, and we need to help each other along the way. And the first part that we can take those steps is, what do we do as individuals, right? How can we better ourselves? How can we make sure we hold ourselves accountable before we hold anybody else accountable? And I just think the ownership piece is, to me, the most important. And I thank you for having the dialogue. And if we continue to have dialogue like this and conversations where we get to know each other beyond you sitting here in your police uniform and me here in everyday clothes and just get to know Tiffany and Brian, I think we can be a stronger community for it.
No, I agree. And I think you hit the nail on the head. And so many times, we're kind of got into this society where we don't, we're so caught up in our devices that we don't sit down and talk. Mm-hmm. We don't hold ourselves accountable or anything like that. And so it's refreshing to hear you to say that type of stuff. And I have really enjoyed, getting to know you. I thank you for coming on today. like I said, where I've been most impressed is your ability to not be afraid to get involved in stuff and not stand on the sidelines. And I had the opportunity to meet your father. I always knew who he was, but I got the opportunity to meet him at your Final Four function. And I no doubt in my mind that you are making him very proud. You're very, very impressive.
Thank you.
So as we wrap up, I appreciate Tiffany Green coming in today. And you, like I said, you can follow her at Tiffany A. Green on Twitter. Next week, we will have the Center for Autism and Related Disabilities, CARD, will be here with us, and we will follow up. Until next time, be careful out there.
Roll Call with Chief Brian Dugan is directed and produced by Janelle McGregor, with technical assistance provided by Eddie Durkin, Steve Haggerty, and Derek Lang. Keep the conversation going on social media, following @TampaPD on Facebook and Twitter, and use the hashtag Roll Call.